Blog Talk Radio.
First night, all I think about is you. Don't stop, baby, you can walk too. Don't want, but I think about you. You know that I'm never gonna lose.
Okay, are you both on or just you, Mick?
I believe she's on or she should be. I texted her the number.
Oh, okay, so she's got to call in too. She's not on the same phone. Okay, that's all I was asking.
Correct.
Yeah, so she's still got to call in. There she is. All right.
Okay,
you're both on there. I just want to thank both
you're
of you for taking time out of your busy schedules, Mick. I know you have... I know you have a lot of time you have to spend dedicated to watching the Ocho so that you can update your Transylvanian potato
totally.
Farming fantasy team.
Exactly. I like that. I should make that my new team name. The Transylvanian potato farmers. I like it.
Yeah, that's one of the obscure sports that you watch on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
The Ocho.
The Ocho. So let's talk about what I brought you guys here to talk about, which is the Tyree Nichols situation, the poor black kid that was killed by five black cops. Just if both of you could just tell me real quick why you have watched the videos, haven't watched the videos, and what your reasoning is for both of those.
Well, I could tell you my wife's, but I'll let her.
Yeah, let her say it. Let
I'm
her,
kind of,
you
I'm kind of interested in why you would say.
No, go ahead.
No, I do not believe in – I have never seen any videos of any since Trayvon Martin. I have not watched any of the videos because I break down just hearing about them very strongly, so I just can't deal with it. Last night, they played the clip way too fast on my TV, and I was able to look away, but I couldn't get the sound off fast enough. And just hearing it literally had me completely, practically on the floor in tears.
Yeah.
So I just do not believe in watching that, but also as a black woman who one day could have black children, I do not need to see. I know the truth. I don't need to be reminded. I don't believe in, it's the modern day lynching. Just instead of, hey, come to the square and tree at this time, we're going to play it on the TV at this time. It just reminds me of that history of, everybody's going to the lynching on Sunday. So it just,
Before we get any further, we should let the audience, which is basically the three of us, know that you are a biracial woman. Correct?
Yes.
And that race is Eskimo, so she is an Eskimo American. No, but okay.
Yes,
I'm
biracial, but
right. So you feel like having what happened to Tyree Nichols is something that's happened to so many black people in history. Including your own history, I'm sure. I'm sure you have relatives that were affected by that. And so you don't feel like you need to see the video footage because you already know what happened in your head, and it would just be confirmation of your worst fears, which is that it's business as usual. Correct?
Yeah. It's just a lived experience that,
you need to see how it got there.
Yeah, I don't need that evidence. I know it happened. I don't need the video to tell me what happened.
So saying that, making that statement, do you feel that it's important for other people to see it?
I don't know anymore. I get the argument that, like, some types of people need to see what's going on to understand why it needs to stop. But
right.
This is generations now have witnessed these things and nothing changes. So obviously seeing the brutality doesn't change anything. We're not,
right.
seem to be changing hearts and minds anywhere.
This is not the first time someone was either beaten within an inch of their life or killed by cops on camera. So this is, it's
yeah.
not like the last times that we saw this. Things actually changed because it's still happening.
Yeah,
I mean,
like in 91, everybody swore up and down that after the Rodney King footage came out, everything was going to change.
Right.
And obviously nothing did. So it's just how much, you know, why do we need to re-traumatize people who this is their lived experience, you know? And there's this perversion amongst some white Americans where they enjoy watching this stuff. So putting it out there is feeding these stereotypes and these, you know, white supremacist histories that have forever been around. And I just think it's disgusting. Like the fact that we counted down to this video coming out yesterday is just,
yeah, I know.
Blows my
mind. It was crazy. And I mean, they created a lead up. I don't think media did a bad job necessarily with the lead up to releasing this video, but the language that they used was very obviously designed to try to prevent riots because they knew how awful this footage was.
Yeah.
So.
Oh no, the whole reason there was a timing was to one, try to get the public not to riot. And two,
right.
to give major cities a chance to prepare their police departments and bring out all their
yeah.
heavy military equipment to,
right.
you know, go after the protesters because apparently that's more important
right.
than fixing the actual roots of the problem.
Because that's the same – that's doing that to protesters is the same systemic evil that just happened to that – to Tyre Nichols. It's
yeah.
the same years. It's the same movement. So, okay.
Yeah,
so
at the end of the day, this is all the same root causes.
Right. So let me ask you based on my experience. I want you to hear the way I look at it and tell me if you think it's off base or whatever. And then I want Mick to talk about if he's seen the footage, why he decided to watch it, why he hasn't. So let me just say this to you real quick. So the way I look at it is that I've always approached negative or opposing views as a challenge, which I think is something everybody else has to do and should always be doing. Instead of completely shutting it out from your life, I personally, because I am confrontational and because I do want to see change in people, like immediately, you know, I will go the extra mile and I will do research on what these people are talking about. Like, for example, if I hear that Fox News has this narrative going, I will go and I will watch clips of Fox News to see exactly what it is that they're saying so that when I'm confronted with that information in the real world, I'm armed with exactly what these people have said because I know it and I've seen it. It also applies for me to things like music I don't like New Kids on the Block, for example. When New Kids on the Block came out, I heard a couple of songs and I was like, oh, these guys sound awful. I was like, I need to hear more of it to make sure that they are as awful as I think. So that's what I'll do. I'll actually research the things that I need to talk about, even if they're opposing views, which is why I think footage like this is important, at least for people like me, because having seen it objectively from a historian's point of view or just as a reporter and observer, as someone who, you know, obviously we're on a radio show right now, I like to talk about stuff like this. I do it for a purpose. So for something like that, for me to see exactly what happens, it means that I'm able to mentally really accept arguments and be intelligent and educated about what I'm talking about because I saw it. I also think that people need to see this because I don't think a lot of people who are on the fence really understand what it is that black people have to deal with on a daily basis. I don't think they get that. I really don't. And I do think that this, that having this footage out there is important for them because I do think they need to wake the fuck up. And I do think they need to see the reality, which is that black people fear for their lives every day, just walking around in the world, which is a fucking insane concept.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. So I'm kind of with you in general. Like, well, first of all, I give you props for
Well, hold on, Erica. What do you think about what I just said?
Oh, sorry.
Just real quick.
Like,
Erica,
I get it. And I mean, Mick will say he also starts watching things. Like, I make him watch the thing so I don't have to. But the whole thing about people being on the fence and having to see, I was saying this to Mick last night and this morning, is like, I think about all the people who are alive today who went through the civil rights movement and sat there. And I, you know, they sat there and said, you know, and I was saying, like, we think of Mamie Till, whose son Emmett Till was killed. And she said, put my son on display. The world needs to see what happened to him.
Right.
And yet nothing changed. And it's like, I don't know if it's that people on the fence don't know. I don't think they care because it doesn't happen to them. It's not their lived experience. Therefore, they don't ever have to deal with it. Therefore, who gives a crap? And I hate to say that, and I know that's as negative, and I don't want to make that something that's everybody, because I know that's not. But at what point is it, like, at what point does it, it's like, how many more videos, how many more photos, how many more protests, how many more before you realize that this is the lived experience? It, you know what I mean? Like, it's just how much more? And that's where I'm just kind of like, I get it, and I think it's a reasonable response. And I think I think the amount of people whose minds it changes is not enough to create the actual change, because the people who need to get it do watch it and don't do the change. So it's just like, I do 100% agree with you and your thought process. I just have no hope.
I guess. No, I can feel it. You're tired. You're weary. You're pessimistic. I'm going to say that. You're pessimistic. And it doesn't mean – I'm not saying that to you as a negative, because I understand your feelings.
Oh, no, yeah.
And I have all of those feelings myself. I mean, you know, and granted, those feelings are more just sympathy, because I haven't lived – any kind of life like that. I've grown up with black folk and watched them struggle, and I keep my eye on my local news and the people I grew up with and the general attitude towards race throughout the country. But I am not those people. I'm just not them. I don't have that skin color. I, as much as I sympathize and understand and have had black people in, you know, as close to me as you can be physically and emotionally towards someone, you know, I can only sympathize. I can only picture what happened to you guys in my brain and sympathize for there. Or obviously, you know, being so close to black people for such a long time, you wind up seeing this systemic racism and oppression. You see it. If you have any awareness whatsoever, you see it and you can sympathize through there. So having an opinion to me as a white man is just not as – I don't think it holds as much weight, but I do believe that there are enough people that this – let me say this. You're absolutely 100% right about how we see these things, it upsets us, and we wind up moving on. And that's got a lot to do with how America operates media-wise, because there's always some new thing popping up that's going to take our minds off of what the bad thing was. There's always some new, always, without question, you know. And it's true. We've all watched it happen. I mean, how many names of black people that were unjustly killed by cops were we looking at just a year ago? I mean, that we filled up our social media pages with blacked out screens and screens that were black, but also had the names of the countless black people that have been killed unjustly by police officers in the picture. There are so many names. And they keep getting trotted out every time something like this happens. But I think, Erica, that if we don't put the footage out, if we don't have that footage out there for people to see, and I do think those marginal amounts of people who really get off on it are a much smaller percentage than the fence sitters. I believe that. Not based on any empirical evidence. It's just a feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe that the people whose minds will be at least disturbed by this and maybe open the door is greater than that. And I think that's where my optimism hasn't died yet.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate the amount of effort that went out, at least on social media, about here's how to change your settings so you don't get bombarded with it.
Right.
And I greatly appreciated that, because it's for people like you who are saying, I need to see this, I need to be able to, have this evidence and to be able to have these conversations, you can find it, but you don't have to cause more harm to the communities that it causes harm to. So I greatly appreciate the effort that went out on that part. And even CNN this morning, they had a whole lead up, we're going to show you the video, but gave enough time that if you wanted to change the channel or get out of the room or do whatever you do, they made sure to do that. So I feel like this time around, there was more of a conscious effort to mitigate that, which
minimize the visual damage. Yeah.
Yeah. ABC, on the other hand, during Wheel of Fortune, just poof, there's the clip. And I'm like, whoa. Wait,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Listen. And then goes back to playing Wheel of Fortune. I was like, whoa, wait, okay. You just messed with – I'm hearing a man cry out for his mama, and then you want me to, give a crap about somebody winning some money on Wheel. Yo, hold up there. What are you doing? But, at the end of the day. But I do say that, I think if anything changed this time around is – there was a conscious effort to try to mitigate that pain for people, which I greatly, greatly appreciated, because I've been on Twitter all day and have not had to come across it. And I'm extremely grateful for that.
So I guess I want to ask you, do you not think that having this footage released is going to at least, at the very, very least, and think like scientifically here, it's going to prolong the name of Tyre Nichols in our minds longer than it normally would if the footage wasn't released? Because while I realize that all of these things do fade and that we find new things to pick at and stuff, when there's more information about something, it definitely stays in the public subconscious for longer. And I believe that every single time one of these people are killed and it's publicized, I do think that those are steps in having this thing come to a real change, because I don't want people to die, but I don't think we should not publicize it, because I do think once we get to a point where, because the George Floyd case actually broke some people. It broke some people. It started something in all colors. When George Floyd happened, I really saw people of other persuasions, including white people, coming out of the woodwork to condemn it. And that's not something I can honestly say as a white man that I've seen very much. In these
Yeah, they condemned deaths. It, but they don't condemn the killing. They condemn the one cop. They don't condemn the system that allowed it to happen.
No, but they kind of did, though. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Is that I heard more.
I don't know. Like,
I heard more talk about the systemic issues because of George Floyd.
I hear it, too. I mean, I'm on a steering committee for a group at my job that the whole point of that committee started because, oh, no, the museum community needs to help and do something about this. And they hit there and they talk about the history of systemic racism, and yet none of these people get with
right,
that.
And it's all bureaucratic and they don't do anything.
But... I am super pessimistic. I am probably the worst person. I have no optimism. I don't have any faith. I am true abolition. The whole thing needs to come down. So, like, I also cannot think. I am probably not the best person
to have
a full cycle view on it, unfortunately.
I'm also the right person to ask.
But, and that's what I'll say. Like, I will say, like, his mother, you know, Tyre Nichols' mother wanted the video out. So, regardless of how I feel about it, she wanted it out, then guess what? Then it goes out. Like, you know, it's up to the – to me, if the families are okay with it going out and want it out to hopefully do something, then I back the family at the end of the day. But I also, like – this is coming – like,
right.
I'm a person
and
who
– at the end of the day, you're right. It is their choice, yes.
It is their choice. And, I mean, I also – like, I do know that this footage, you know, it allows people to say things that didn't happen, like, oh, that never happened. Oh, well, yes, it did. There you go. I don't know why you need my freaking evidence for it, but here you go. But I also, like, come from, like, my proximity to these things is very different. Like, my mother always reminds me, like, the fact that, like, the cops in our old neighborhood knew my stepbrother's name, and my brother is, like, really dark-skinned, you know, really black.
Right.
And those are the same cops that killed Eric Garner. So, like...
Right.
And so having that footage, like, I know has made reforms in New York. Like, there have been bills that went into effect because of it. And, like, I know those, you know, that precinct hasn't gotten better, but they don't patrol as much over there anymore now. So, like, I can see how there's, like, where they do good. But overall, I don't know. But, again, if the families, if the prosecutors, like, if they're saying we need this to go out to do this, then I will never say, oh, how dare you release that. And, like, so specifically with this case, his mother wanted the video out. His father released the photo of him in the hospital. They wanted, you know, to do this. And so regardless of anybody's feelings on the subject, I stand with the family on what they wanted to do. And I hope it's not in vain for their sake, for the amount of trauma they have to go through of having the world view their son at the moment he dies. I hope that's not something, but history tells us it will be. And I just, and that's where
I don't agree with you because I think you're right that there's a lot of, dismissal of all of the lives that have been lost just for existing by black folk. I think you're right. I do believe, though, that if you look at history, oppressed people, you can oppress a people for 2,000 years, but even after 2,000 years, somebody's going to eventually say, fuck this, and it's going to stop. And one of the good things about media and video footage and stuff like that is it's not just for American consumption. We've got the world watching us, and we've always had the world watching us. Right. We've always had the world watching us, but since Donald Trump was president, they fucking hate us. They absolutely fucking hate us. And this is fodder for them, and it's good and bad because there are good and bad people in the world who will take it different ways. But the world seeing this happen into America is going to create pressure on America to fix this systemically. And what I am seeing based on this footage is a lot of black leaders saying, and this was a great statement, I retweeted this. This is something that you, I believe you gave to Mick for me, but this person said the race of a cop is cop. Yeah. A race, the race of a cop is cop. I mean, they didn't say color doesn't matter. They didn't say that because color very much matters here. Okay, it's not a non-factor. It's a big factor, and that factor is that even oppressed peoples can be given positions of power and still abuse people, even people that look exactly like them. It's a systemic fucking issue. It's a system.
Yeah.
There, I can't see any other interpretation of this incident. You can say what you want about George Floyd and the biggest bullshit that we hear about this is the one that irks me the most, is when people start bringing up their criminal history as if that was enough to make them deserve to die. Not only deserve to die, but in the streets like a dog.
Oh, I know.
Like, why are cops are never supposed to be the executioners? You're supposed to bring people to a court who decides whether they're guilty, which even that's an issue in this country because the justice system is fucking racist. It's
yeah,
all the same system.
Double, all of it, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Our poor black men and women can't even participate in this corrupt justice system because they're being killed before they have a chance to be tried.
Pretty much.
So do you think that it is beneficial in some ways for people to see those videos? Do you think there's I know you don't believe that there's going to be change. I do. We can agree to disagree on that. But do you think there is some benefit for that footage being out there on the internet for people to see?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think about what if it had been my brother? What
right.
if one day it is my child? I personally wouldn't want the world to see that. But again, I don't know, because depending on the circumstances, maybe I'll have that moment where it's like, no, it hopefully will do some good. It's one of those, I don't think I can have an answer, because I think it's a moment. It's in that moment is you can make the decision. And so I honestly don't know. I really don't know. I feel like I can see both sides of the argument very clearly. And I still yet don't. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, that is, you know, that's that you, I don't want to say you have the privilege of saying that, but I feel that you deserve to be able to say that. And I don't like any black person really, I think, kind of deserves to have race fatigue at this point, because it's so obnoxious that you can have, you know, points in your life where you feel safe and fine, like you're in a good place, like you're in a decent neighborhood and stuff like that. And then you turn on the news and people that look like you are being literally murdered in the streets. Like, I can't even imagine that type of inability to relax as a human being, you know?
That's what, like, I just, like, they say, like, the whole story, like, oh, he went through a stop sign. I'm like, I remember when I got pulled over, when I supposedly went through a stop sign, but how do you stop me at a stop sign when I'm still at the stop sign, so how did I go through it? And it was a white cop. It's 4 a.m. I'm a black woman by myself. He kept me there for over an hour. And thankfully, nothing happened. I appealed the ticket because I was like, I didn't go through it, and I was just dismissed. I mean, thankfully, the situation happened as it did, but I sat there yesterday thinking, I'm like, oh, my God, what if? You know, and so, like,
yeah.
that's a very real experience, and I do have a privilege that I'm light-skinned. So, like,
right.
There's less threat to me than to my stepbrother or to other
right.
black family members that I have or to just the black population that is of a darker complexion. And so, like, I recognize my privilege in this, that, like, I don't have to have as much fear as they do. And it's just, and as I'm terrorized and scared every day, I can't even begin to comprehend what that means for them on an everyday
right.
basis. I mean, but that's where, like, you know, you see these in these moments, you see, like, that's what I did love is, like, instead of sharing that video, people have been sharing this, like, homemade video of Tyrese skateboarding. And it's
right.
remembering him at his fullest and most joyful. And that's where it's like,
right.
where is the joy? What, you know, we do not need to be defined by these
mm-hmm.
moments, by all of the trauma and pain and brutality. So like that's for me, like, that's what I concentrated on yesterday. I was like, let me watch those videos. Let me look at those photos and not the ones of the stream, you know, everything else, because if you only release these videos of them at their death, you are losing who they are. You're losing that humanity,
right.
and that humanity is being defined by the media, by white supremacist institutions such as policing. I mean, you're letting them define these individuals in this one moment in time when there is so much, like when you said, like, you know, like they, with George Floyd, they're like, oh, he's criminal past and stuff. It's like, who, like, and they use that video and like one other photo to like, that defined him. And it's just like, there is all these other moments in a person's life that define them.
Right.
And no one should be defined
right.
by their most horrific. And I, you know,
right.
and that's where, like,
I
think there's
yeah.
a difficulty
Absolutely.
In that.
And I don't think that the videos should be plastered all over the news. I will say that. I don't think because you know, our mainstream news media is very sensationalist. All of it is, which is why our mainstream news media has a video in prime time of Britney Spears hitting a car, bald Britney Spears hitting a car with her umbrella.
Yeah.
Like, how relevant is that to this fucking country? You know what I mean? Like, our priorities are fucked here.
Oh, yeah.
Really fucked. You know? Mick, so have you seen the videos? Tell me about your experience. Let's talk to you for a second here.
I have not seen full-fledged, large chunk videos. I
haven't watched all of them either. I saw... The part I couldn't get through is the part where he's, like, barely alive and they're, like, still hitting him and stuff like that. I couldn't get through
that. Well,
yeah. So I haven't watched that yet.
There's a couple of things. First of all, like, once I realized, I guess I hadn't noticed this in the beginning, but once I realized that, like, the totality of the videos that were shown and of the incident itself was, like, over an hour, I'm like, okay, I'm not sitting here.
Yeah.
For
no.
an hour watching
yeah.
this. Like I remember watching
right.
like the George Floyd video, which was like 9 minutes, and I was like, this is fucking torture. So like, there's no way I was going to sit there for like an hour and 10 minutes or whatever it was and watch this take place. So having said that, I watched, you know, some clips. I watched some clips of the body cam footage. I watched some clips of the street lamp or street light, whatever it was, footage. And so I honestly don't think I'm at any point going to sit there and watch the whole hour. But I do agree with you in – and I don't know, we talked about this yesterday – in that I do think it is good for people to have access to the video, because I do think that some people need that, like, visceral image, because it's a lot – different
yeah.
to hear, oh, so-and-so got beat up or so-and-so got shot or so-and-so got stabbed. But when you actually see it, you know, it's like the same thing, like when you watch the news and you see like footage of like somebody pushing somebody in front of a moving train, like you're like, holy shit. Like, and you just like, it's different than just reading about it or hearing about it. So I do think the images and the video are, I don't want to say important because it's not like that, but I do think it is by and large a positive to have that choice. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to see the video, you can see the video. If you don't want to see the video, obviously you don't have to, which again kind of goes to what Eric was saying yesterday. It was weird to, like, I get why the
networks decided to like cut in once the video was publicized, but it really was super weird for them to just be like, breaking news, here's some footage of the video, and it was barely any like warning or notice. And like Erica said, we're sitting there watching like fucking Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, like a couple of
grandmas,
and all of a sudden you go from that to like this guy screaming for his mother as he's about to get killed, and then like literally like 5 minutes later they put Wheel of Fortune back on, and it's like, all right, back to your regularly scheduled programming. And it's
yeah,
like, whoa. I need a minute to like process this. This is not normal. But I do think it is a good thing by and large for people to have access to these videos and images and stuff like that. Having said that, I'm kind of more along the lines of Erica in the, I don't know if you want to call it pessimism, but like
cowardice.
I don't think, like, I guess the way I see it is that if things didn't really get fixed after George Floyd, they're never going to. And
right.
Part of the reason I say that is because, and we've discussed this before, that came at such a time in history where, you know, 20% of the country was unemployed. Because COVID had just hit like 3 months prior.
You were talking about this on the show, how it was a
right.
It was basically
so,
ripe for people to pay attention to.
Right.
It could have been anything that grabbed us at that point, but this tragic
right.
thing.
People did, and you know, we protested a couple of times, and you know, we sent letters and shit like that, and made phone calls, and that's great. But just on a and listen, I'm sure in some local municipalities, things have improved. Like, I'm sure that there has been some strides somewhere in policing between 3 years ago and now. But I think incidents like what happened with Tyree just show that, like, the institution in general hasn't changed. And I really don't see how it's going to. Like, I don't see – listen, I hope I'm wrong. Jesus Christ, I hope I'm wrong. But, like, I don't see how this incident is going to somehow make, you know, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, be like, yeah, you know what, we totally need to dismantle our police system and start from the ground up, or, you know, in any major city. Like, I just don't think this
is gonna happen. But don't you think you're being a little ridiculous by going for that goal, which is like super lofty? Change is incremental. You don't ever have guys like Eric Adams doing something like that, because it's not profitable to anyone. Change has to come very slowly. And I do believe that it is happening, because I've done a little research since in the last couple of weeks just on this. But since George Floyd happened, there are townships and stuff like that are doing things like creating civilian oversight committees or having cops take sensitivity training. Like, those things are happening in smaller towns. And to me, because you just really have to look at history, like, that's just the way change happens. That's how it happens incrementally
in small spaces
till it grows.
I get that, but I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, I would at least like to, at some point in my lifetime, be able to, like, tangibly see something. And again, you said, like, you know, there are local towns, and I'm sure there's probably 1,000 towns who have improved their operations. Like, I get that, but at the same time, I don't know, I see incidents like this, and I'm like, there's no fixing that. Like, there's no sensitivity training or, you know, different kind of, you know, training practices that's going to stop what happened in that instance.
But you don't think, really be practical here, you don't think if, you know, a couple of townships do this, whatever it is that they do, whatever idea they come up with to try to, make policing like one of the things that they really could do that's actually been done before successfully is actually put cops on beats, put them on walking beats and have them get to know the community. That's always worked.
That hasn't worked because the cops that killed Eric Garner were the beat cops. They were the neighborhood cops. Everyone knew who they were and they knew everyone in the neighborhood.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. There's always going to be. There's always. My point is not that there's one solution. Okay. There's not one solution for all of this. But when you start on the ground level, with, for example, something like beat cops and a civilian oversight committee, do you understand? Like it's not black and white. You can't just say this one thing doesn't work by itself, so we have to discard it. That might work as in a combination with something else, like a civilian oversight committee. But you have these cops in the communities getting to know people. Yes, you're going to have situations like what you just said, but that's also because we haven't implemented the new breed of cops yet. All of this systemic change has to come from the bottom up. So that means you're going to have a generation of stupid people who have this training that aren't going to fit in it or whatever. But
breeding a new type of cop. Do you think that – I'm asking a serious question. Do you think that in 80 years from now, the police – force by and large will be filled with a breed of cops who doesn't act this way?
I would love for that to happen, and I'm not.
So would I.
I'm not so pessimistic that I think it's impossible. I'm not that pessimistic. I'm just not. I know that there are things. I'll tell you where my pessimism does come in. I am not convinced that we could find anyone, any group large enough to pull this off. Like, I've always thought there's lots of different ideas that I've always had for policing and fire stuff. Like, you know, like that we could actually have a program that trains police in both fire and cop stuff. So you only have one force. Now, obviously, these people are going to have to be elite people. It's going to have to be elite people that can take this training, which is not what our cops are. So even that change has to come from the ground up. So it's not that I don't think that the entire police force can be changed. I don't think, especially if you watch that show The Wire, dude, like the kind of shit that you come up against, the way that the system is absolutely skewed against anybody, even people like Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who I absolutely adore. Like, she can't get anything fucking done because the old guard won't work with her in any way, shape, or form. Not that she doesn't get shit done, but, like, she is absolutely the head of that new crowd of politicians that I think are 1,000% fucking necessary. I wish I could clone her. I think with people like her in charge that we can see change like that in the police. I believe that with all my heart. 80 years? Maybe not 80 years. 100 years? Yeah, fuck yes. Fuck yes.
Well, you're more optimistic than I am, my friend, and I hope you're right. But I think part of the problem is, like you said, that, you know, you need, like, elite people. I think that's part of the problem, too, is, like, our answer to these, you know, crime problems a lot of time is, well, hire more cops. Well, hiring more cops, if they're unqualified, is only going to make the problem worse.
That's the system's answer, right? That's the system's answer to the problem.
Right. But it's like we were talking about yesterday, like, when Eric and I were in New London, like, we attended a couple of town hall meetings and stuff like that, And they brought up the idea of a civilian oversight committee.
Right, yeah, and it never went anywhere. Right.
Right, because, you know, the council people are in bed with the cops and, you know, even the progressives half the time. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, and there are some towns, I'm sure, where they have implemented this stuff, and that's great. And I do think that helps, but, like, I think it's kind of a thing where I'm trying to find like a good analogy, but if it's like, you know, if you turn an hourglass upside down and the sand is running out and you manage to stop a couple of grains of sand from stopping, that's cool. But the other 5,000 grains of sand are still falling through. So what good are you really doing? I know it's a terrible analogy.
Well,
but I'm just...
No, it's not a terrible analogy. It's just exactly what I said it was, which is fucking pessimistic as shit, which, again, it's not that I don't understand that mentality or am kind of there myself. It's that, but, I mean, I don't walk outside and volunteer in a grassroots movement. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not
– right.
Right now, I'm all mouth. I mean, I used to put my money where my mouth was. I literally spent – my life revitalizing areas of Mount Vernon. That's what I did for a couple of years. You know, I was creating spaces for people and gardens in Mount Vernon, like food gardens for people, and putting planters in the shitty neighborhoods and stuff like that. I was doing that.
Right.
You know, right now I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that right now. It's all talk. But
yeah, so am I. I get it.
But to your point, those few grains of sand. So what really needs to happen, and this is where the pessimism obviously jumps in on me and you two. I need Erica's and Mix everywhere, okay? Because you guys went to your town meetings, you got involved with the local politics, etc., and you got disheartened. But I need. There are people who won't get disheartened. And the problem with like you and Erica and me, for example, is that we can't afford to dedicate our lives to fixing these things. It's just not feasible for us.
Well, that's what's crazy. We were talking about this the other day, Erica and I were like, I couldn't imagine living that life because and Jesus, God bless and unlimited props to the people that do, because maybe I'm just a bad person, but I could never do it because number one, it's not financially stable or rewarding to be that type of advocate volunteer as a 24/7 type of thing.
It's not.
Even more so than that, like I just couldn't imagine like paying that emotional toll all the fucking time. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
We do it by and large when incidents like this happen. And it's fucking draining for like days or weeks or even months. But so I could not imagine living a life where I felt like this every day. And so, yeah, like to your point, like I there are people who do that, and, you know, I hope we could clone those people. You want to clone AOC, I want to clone these people, because that is the only way that this shit is going to change, is if instead of, you know, I'm just making up a number, but if there's, you know, 50,000 grassroots activists, there needs to be 5 million. And if there's 5 million, then we can start to see, like, some actual change. And again, not that 50,000 won't bring about change, but it's just so slow that it just doesn't feel like progress a lot of the time. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
and
I know there is progress.
Unfortunate, but
progress
is never linear.
Like,
you know that. You know progress is not linear. It's just not.
Right.
You know, there was I saw this cool ass video. It was like a performance art piece, and it was just the dude walking up a staircase, but there was like a huge trampoline on one side of it.
Oh yeah,
and
I did
like,
see that was cool. Yeah,
yeah, it was cool. He'd like get a couple of steps up, and then he'd fall, and then he'd like come back up like on the step right below where he fell, and then he'd walk up a couple of steps. It was like a great analogy for how progress is not.
Yeah.
You know, like regardless of what you think about performance art or whatever, like it was a very good analogy on what
I like that
trying to progress is like, you know, and that's the way, even if it's just you and I, Mick, even if it's just you and I sitting here on this show that we haven't marketed to anyone yet, even if it's just us and somebody listens to us and says, you know, they got a real fucking point about that. Like that, to me, that is enough of a world change. And I can feel good about that. You know, I've done way better things for the world than this, than what we're doing right here. But I do think it's important that the video's out there, that people's opinions are out there. I do believe that change can be incremental. And to your point about the sand, like, a couple of grains don't stand in the way of an oncoming tide. But eventually, mathematically, Mick, there's going to be a time in history when there are Erica and Mick's in a whole lot of towns that are motivated, that have nothing better to do than fight for justice. Mathematically, that's going to happen at some point. And I would like to do things in my life that will help that situation occur.
Yep. I get that.
You know, and even like you said, you feel like you're getting no progress, but you guys are willing to sit, to take time out of your day, your busy ass fucking weekend, to sit here and talk about something that I think is really important to this country and to race relations.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk about race every day.
I got to do my Transylvania potato farming.
Well,
I mean, my job is literally to talk about race every day at work. So, I mean,
I know. I mean, you come home to a fucking...
I do this every day anyway.
You come home to a glowing honky every day, too. That's got to be startling when you walk in the door.
Yeah.
You know, of course you're talking about race all the time. It's your job, and you decided to, you know, for some reason, date outside your race. I don't get it, but it is what it is.
I was raised by white people. Are we really that shocked? I mean... No, I found one of the good ones, thankfully.
Yeah, I know. And then you put it back and dated Mick.
Pretty much.
My boy. Okay, guys, I appreciate you coming on and talking about this. I literally was, like, up most of the night, like, reading and watching shit about this. It was kind of fucked up.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah.
I guess it's up for, like, two hours last night.
It's bad. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's fucking, it's really like, again, I think we do need to talk about this as a country, and it looks like people are doing it. We're doing it. I think you guys should continue to do it with the people that you encounter. Cause this, you're right, Erica, like the whole system needs to be scrapped. It's got to be.
I mean, this is the thing though. Like not enough people are willing to admit that this whole system is founded on inequality, racism. I mean, policing literally is a slave patrol. That is what it was.
Yes.
And what it was meant to do. So it's operating exactly how it was always meant to operate.
Right.
And so, like, how do you reform something that actually, technically, according to our government, isn't broken? Because it is operating exactly how it was. Is supposed to be doing. So it's like, you can't reform that. You have to completely just, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you get abolish police and you don't put anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to unequivocally abolish everything and create something better.
No,
but can,
I think
but
we,
can we as
really
a nation ever create something better?
We revamp the policing system.
But can we do that?
It's got to be something different.
But can we do that if at the end of the day, the belief is that there should always be inequality in order for things to operate. And the people who have the power believe in that inequality so much so that it just, until we eradicate racism, it's never going to change. And that is never going to happen because
but
it
don't
looks
you
different
think,
in every country around the world, but it's still there.
Don't you think if we start placing all these McConnells with Ilhan Omars and AOCs, like, don't you think that's going to help us by doing
no,
that?
Yeah, during the civil rights movement.
And Erica, that's not even far-fetched. That's not even far-fetched because the fact is that fucking white people are getting pushed away, thankfully, finally. Finally, a lot of states are getting diversified. You know, and they're hating it, and they're getting pissed at it, and they don't want it. But we're going to see a change in the next like 80 years. We're going to see a lot of change of the faces that are in Congress, and I do believe that having that systemic change is going to work top down.
We can agree to disagree.
Don't you think?
No,
you don't think so.
No.
So you think our AOCs are just going to be minorities? We're just going to have just a tiny progressive sect within the establishmentarian Democrats that are never going to offend?
It's literally the heartbeat of this country is to make sure that doesn't happen. That's what I'm saying. Like, it needs to all go in order for that to happen because
I think
like, and again, it's like, because you have those who really want to create change and they're doing the best they can in the situations they're in. And then you have the figureheads that are put in to be diversity, but they're just touting the line and don't actually create change. It's like a facelift. It's like, oh, look, we put that person in charge, but then they don't, like, it's Eric Adams. Oh, we have a black mayor, but he is not a black mayor who's for the black people. So it's like, that's the point, is you can't just slap black and brown bodies in seats and say that's change. And that's what they're doing right now.
I don't think that Ilhan Omar or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are just brown bodies.
No, they
bodies,
are not. They're right. Not the bodies. That's not the ones I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. There's this small little pocket that they are there and they are doing the work and they are the ones we need. I don't ever think they will be allowed to multiply in the numbers we need them to multiply. And that's because the system doesn't allow for that to happen.
Yeah,
they will find a way. They'll
change
the voting rights again and make it so we can.
No, because there are too many fucking honky states that I don't.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
We can
have
all of these like white states that are just like.
Right.
Go on, Mick.
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to say is, like, you know, if let's say, like, the AOCs and the Omars of the world, like, if they make up 10% of Congress, that's great, and that's way better than it was 20, 30 years ago. Do I think 20, 30 years from now it'll be more than 10%? Yes. Do I think 20 or 30 years from now it'll be 50%? No. Like, I don't think that number is ever going to get high
no, I gave it a good amount of time when I said 80 years.
Yeah.
I said 80
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
real
that is, and that's possible. But again, so I guess that's my point is like if I am to believe that we're going to have to wait 80 years for real change, I can get on board with that. But at the same time, how am I as a 45-year-old man supposed to be super optimistic when I know there's no chance of me ever seeing it?
Hey, let me ask you a question, okay? Yeah. And then we'll end the show after this because I know you guys got to go.
Yeah.
Have you ever, do you ever vote for your, based on the interests of other people? Do you ever buy products based on political leanings of the company? Do you use your money to vote? Do you vote with your money as well?
I will say this. I don't vote with my money.
One last question.
Okay.
Have you ever donated money to charity?
Yes.
Okay. So answer all three of those questions.
I don't necessarily vote with my dollar in the sense of, like, you know, if I'm like I'm not a Chick-fil-A fan necessarily, and but the thing is, the fact is, I don't really have any Chick-fil-A's near me. Having said that, if I liked Chick-fil-A's food, I would probably still frequent their establishment, even though I think their CEO or whoever is a piece of shit and a racist.
No, no, we would never. Well, I mean, what are you talking about? No, we wouldn't give them our money.
No, you're not going to
Chick-fil-A. Same way I won't give Hobby Lobby my money either.
Chick-fil-A because they actively pay for anti-gay legislation. You can't go there. Like, it's just, if you went there, you'd be an asshole.
Well, but that's my point, is I don't sit there and go, okay, I need ketchup. Should I buy Heinz? Well, let me see what their policies are. But that's what I'm saying. So in that sense, I do not necessarily vote with my money. But when
you,
I am
are
voting,
there products that you would avoid based on, are there any products that you, I'm not saying that you don't purchase them at all, but if you had a choice, are there products that you wouldn't use because of the politics of the company that you knew of? I'm not saying that you do research on every company that you buy.
Right. I'm sure there are, but to be honest with you, I can't think of any offhand. But what I will say to answer your other questions is I do donate to charities at various points and, you know, for various reasons. But I also vote, and this is what frustrates me about voting, is because especially when it comes down to, like, people in our demographic, like, I vote not as if I'm a 45-year-old straight white dude, you know what I mean, who's, like, you know, has some money in the bank, not a ton, obviously, but, like, I don't vote for myself when it comes to actually sitting there and voting, because there's enough fucking people in Washington who, you know, look out for middle-aged straight white dudes. Like, I don't really need anybody to make sure that I'm okay, because I'm okay. So from that standpoint, I do vote for others.
So what you're telling me is that there are things that you actively do that align with your feelings about people in the world. You donate to charities, you give of yourself, you do things, you make conscious decisions based on the good of everyone. And not just
probably
correct?
Not as much as I should, but I do. I would say that's a fair statement.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, that's my point. Like, I'm not going to tell you, oh, you're doing enough. What's enough to me is might not be enough to you. I'm not saying you're doing enough, but what I'm saying is that you are actively putting forth good things into the world. You are doing things for other people. You are voting for other people. You are giving of yourself for other people. You have given of yourself to me, so I know that you are a giving person. That's what Yeah, I know. But I am tired of being the bottom, bro.
No,
I'm telling you right now, I am fucking sick of it. I am sick.
Well,
that little
listen, it's not my fault you got that
around my hemorrhoids. I hate the pokes. The pokes are the worst.
But I'm just saying,
like, you are someone who has feelings and cares about other people, and you do things in your life for that. You can be a pessimist all you want. You guys can both say, I'm done with humanity. I don't believe anything like that is going to happen. But fine. But just don't stop doing what you're already doing, because even without you having to attend every fucking town council meeting and dedicate your whole life to changing things one town at a time, just because you can't do that doesn't mean you're not doing the right thing. So just don't be pessimistic about it. Don't look at yourselves and say, we're not doing enough. Erica, your entire career is basically about making things better for black people. Like, that's really at the heart of everything that you want to do. You want people to know the history of what's happened to people. You want people to see these things. Like, it's fucking admirable. I adore both of you very fucking much. You guys are doing
good
things.
And I do put my money where my vote is. I do
I don't. Right. Go on.
Oh, but like just from a company, like there, I less about like companies. I try to always buy from companies that I know are doing sustainable good.
Right.
Or getting, like I just literally, I on purposely like I was needed a new candle and I was on Crate Barrel and they were supporting this black woman on site and I was like, all right, buy that. But
right.
I do put, and I vote for other people, obviously.
Yeah.
But,
no, I mean, I was more scolding Mick because he was like, oh, you know, I'm not.
He tells him where to go buy things, so he definitely does.
Like I heard your reaction when I said he about him going to Chick-fil-A, so I knew immediately that you were already on top of it.
I've never had Chick-fil-A,
but
no,
Mick,
and you never will.
I've had it. It's honestly not worth the hype. Although they're breakfast biscuits, they make these little like fried chicken, white meat chicken nuggets. They put on like this little sweet bread nugget. It's so good, dude. You could eat like 100,000 of those things. But like literally my brother is gay. Literally my brother is gay. So, you know, I can't fuck with Chick-fil-A. Can't do it. On principle.
Right. No, I get that.
The company literally wants people, like they want gay people to basically be like locked up and shit. And they pay for legislation that says shit like that. So that's too wild to me.
Yes, and they also pay for anti-abortion legislation. So.
Right. Right. But yeah, okay. So yeah, you both, you know, let's end on this. You guys, be as pessimistic mentally as you want. Give up your faith in humanity. That's fine. But just don't stop being who you are and doing what you're doing. Okay? Just don't stop. Keep voting with your heart. You know what I mean? You give to charity. That's great. You know, whatever you guys do. You do this show and we talk about issues. We talk about issues. And all of the things that we talk about are dedicated basically towards, like, things being better for people. That's what everybody wants.
Right.
Sure.
Okay, lovelies. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you. Bye.